Let us hear the word of God as it is written in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 21 to 24. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. And may the Lord add his own blessing to his word.
Well, I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6, and I do want to just say that I'm very thankful for the opportunity tonight to be back. I enjoyed very much my time with you all this morning as we looked in Ephesians chapter 1 at the very beginning of the book, and tonight we're looking at Paul's final words, his final greeting to the church in Ephesus. And you know, there's something about final words. Final words, you know, they seem to always have a very special or perhaps a deeper meaning in certain situations in life. I can remember on just a few certain occasions in my own life, I had a very close mentor, a father-like figure of mine, who was very ill just a few years ago, and I remember visiting him in hospital, and I knew that he didn't have very long to live. And every word that came out of his mouth, I remember clinging to. I'd known this man for 20 years, and many words had come and gone, but these words meant something. They were very, very special. I can remember during my ordination service, as I was gathered around a council of men and pastors from around our local area, and just those final words of encouragement that they gave me, they have stuck with me all throughout these years. I can remember the words of encouragement that my pastor in my home church in Atlanta, Georgia would give me, and those who I had grown to know through my upbringing in my home church as we left America and we came to this country a little over 5 years ago. I can remember many of those words because they were special to me. They were some of the final words that were given to me. As we come to this book in Ephesians, this particular point, this particular passage, sometimes it's easy to, you know, skip over the first bit, the greeting at the beginning, and the salutation at the end. But we're reading the very end of the letter to the Ephesians that God has given us, obviously through the Apostle Paul, and he's going to leave his readers with something very, very special. He's going to leave us with a real assurance that despite his current circumstances, despite the fact that he was sat there in prison, that God was not only in control, but that he had blessed him, and he has blessed us. As you remember this morning, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Do you remember that this morning? The blessings of redemption, the blessings of forgiveness, the blessings of revelation through God's word, the blessings of an inheritance that we have. Paul is going to remind his readers of these blessings, these spiritual blessings. And as it was really the case for Paul, it seemed always his primary concern was not for himself, it was not for his safety, but it was his concern was for others. And he wanted these believers in this church to know that he was doing just fine. He wanted them to be encouraged. Think about this. There he is, sat in prison. He's not writing back, hey, the guards, they don't come in at this time of night, maybe you could come get me out. He's saying this, look, I'm concerned for you, and I want to encourage you. Don't worry about me, but let me rather encourage you. And honestly, tonight, if we are honest, that is a real characteristic of a believer who is becoming each day more and more like Jesus. And as Paul closes out this letter to the church, he wants to leave us, you and I tonight, I believe, with a couple of things. Two things we're going to look at tonight. And here are the two things that I believe Paul, in these final words to the church at Ephesus, wants to encourage us with. And it's so simple tonight. And it's simply this: to encourage other believers and to look to Jesus for everything. All through this passage, all through this letter, this entire book of Ephesians, I know we've not studied it all together, but if you are familiar with the book and perhaps you want to go back tonight, it wouldn't take you that long to just read the entire book of Ephesians. And we come to the end of it. And he's saying, of all the things that he said, in light of all the teaching, in light of all the doctrine, in light of all the spiritual blessings, encourage one another and look to Jesus for everything. So let's look at those two things tonight, shall we? The first thing is to encourage other believers. And that is what we are encouraged to do. Now, the first thing, I think, the critical thing that we should do with this particular text tonight, and really throughout all reading of Scripture, all of reading of the Bible, is we have to understand that this book, the Bible, it is not just an academic textbook. It's not just something we would pick up on a university bookshelf, but rather this letter was a letter that was written to a group of people. And it was given through the inspiration of God to an apostle so that we can now read it here together. And this letter was to be circulated and to be read to all the churches in Ephesus. Because of that, as we study Ephesians, and as you perhaps will go and read Ephesians and look at it later together, or any part of the Bible for that matter, we have to make sure as we read the Bible that we don't just walk away from the Bible simply filled with more knowledge. It's not about information transmittal into our brains. We should rather walk away encouraged. Encouraged by what we read. Encouraged by what God is doing. Encouraged by what Christ has done for us. And then ready to encourage others. Now, Paul has just asked for prayer. Now again, not for prayer for release from prison. He's asked a prayer of request for boldness in his witness. And now he gives these closing thoughts. Again, here he is under house arrest. He's facing trial, possibly death, yet his thoughts are not on himself. They are for others. You can notice in our verses, in verse 21, he's, and I'm going to paraphrase, but he says this, I want you to know my affairs and know how I'm doing. The reason I'm writing this letter is partially so you'll know how things are going here. He also says, so now I'm sending Tychicus to you so you can know what's going on. He's going to give a report to you. He's going to deliver this letter to you, and I want you to know what's happening in my life. That's why I'm sending him to you, he says in verse 22. So you can know about our affairs and so that he can comfort you, so he can encourage you. Now notice the way in which they encouraged one another. Now, Paul knew that the Ephesians cared for him. Isn't that encouraging to know when someone is caring for you, when someone loves you, when someone reaches out to you, when someone is praying for you? I know that in my life, I'm quite encouraged when someone just tells me they're praying for me. Now, it may not always be true, but at least they've told me as much. I'm encouraged when someone has a nice word to say, a nice encouraging word from the Lord. Paul knew that the Ephesians cared for him. The last time that he had saw them, it was very hard for them to say goodbye to one another. Acts 20, verse 36 says this, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down, and he prayed with them all. And when they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. You can tell just by reading these words and seeing this affection that they had for one another, that they deeply cared for one another. Because of that, Paul wanted to be an encouragement back to the very churches that were encouraging him. Paul had been encouraged and helped by this man named Tychicus. He was a believer from Asia Minor, which is around about today modern Turkey. He had traveled with Paul from Macedonia to Jerusalem, where he had taken a special offering there. You can look in Acts chapter 20 to see that. And then he had traveled to Rome to see the apostle, to find out how he was doing, to see how he was getting on, to see how he might encourage him. And Tychicus was a real blessing to Paul. I'm thankful for those who are a blessing in my life. I'm sure you are as well. Paul says in Colossians 4:7, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord." I want you to notice what Paul is saying about this brother in Christ. He says, "You are a beloved brother, a brother in Christ that is very, very special, that I really love and I really appreciate." He calls him a faithful minister in the Lord, a real servant of the Lord that he could always count on. This was an encouraging person. And then our text in Colossians, the one we read a moment ago, he adds this word, fellow servant. Paul knew that he wasn't the only one working in the ministry of the gospel. There were many fellow servants working alongside him, just as there are today. It may not seem like it. It may sometimes seem like we're going at it all alone. It may seem like we're very few in number in the grand scheme of things. But there are many still out there. There are many that need to be encouraged. And there are many that can still be an encouragement to us. But this man Tychicus, it seems that a big way that he was able to bless and encourage the Apostle Paul was simply by being someone he could count on. A man who would help him and assist him with the things that needed to be done. Paul needed to be encouraged. He needed others with him. Your pastor needs to be encouraged. The deacons need to be encouraged. Those who work with the children need to be encouraged. Every person within this church, I'm sure, needs to be encouraged. We're to encourage one another. And Paul certainly wanted to encourage the Ephesians. He says, I want you to know that I'm doing just fine. Now, sounds a bit odd for a man sat in an uncomfortable prison cell. But he wasn't worried about his comfort. He was worried about their comfort. He says in verse 22 that the purpose of sending Tychicus was that he may comfort them or to encourage their hearts. That was the purpose. He says, I've written this entire letter to encourage you. I want you to be encouraged so you will keep on for the Lord. Some may say, well, I don't really think I have the gift of encouragement. My friend Travis is in the back, and I think he's told me once before, Chris, I think you have the gift of discouragement. Hopefully he was joking. But all of us have the ability, and Scripture even tells us that we need to be able to encourage one another. Romans 14:15 says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another." If you remember this morning, if you were here this morning and you heard the sermon of just a few blessings, we looked at think of a treasure chest of spiritual blessings that we might have. And we've just dug just the very top level of this treasure chest of spiritual blessings. And he's saying, you have this. You have these blessings. You have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to be sorrowful for. You have been blessed by the Creator God Almighty. And because of that, you are now able to bless and encourage one another. We need to be continually looking out for one another, continually looking for ways that we can encourage one another. Hebrews 3 says this, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Paul is saying, I'm sending to you Tychicus. I want to encourage you. I've written this letter to encourage you. And we see in these other portions of Scripture, like the one we just read, that we need to be looking out for one another. Not just to keep each other happy. Not just to keep each other filled with joy and a smile on our face. And those are all good things. But we need to keep each other from sin. We need to make sure one is not straying. But we're all sheep here. And we're following the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, He is the one who seeks us. And He finds us. But we are meant as sheep now to help one another. To look out for one another. To gather one another. To support one another. Instead of thinking always about how others might be a blessing to me, perhaps we could think about how we could be a blessing to others. We should maybe ask ourselves, who am I an encouragement to? Who am I blessing? Who am I supporting? Who am I helping? Who am I encouraging? For that really is the best way to be blessed. Acts 20:35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You want to receive a blessing? Try being a blessing. You want to receive encouragement? Give encouragement. That is what we are called. That is what we are modeled by the Lord Jesus Christ to do for each and every one in our community. We need to meet together so that we can be encouraged, so that we can encourage one another. You see, the thing is, we can do this to some degree out and about and out in the community. But I would dare say the easiest way that we are going to encourage one another is when we meet, when you meet, when I meet at our local assembly, at our local church. We meet together. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, it's quite hard to encourage one another, to edify one another, to call out sin to one another, to bring each other back into the fold when we're not here, when we're not together, when we're not unified. And so to be an encouragement to one another, we need to be together. And that is more than just on a Sunday, more than just maybe on a midweek, more than just on an occasional time, but we should be involved in one another's lives. This entire letter, and again, I know you've not looked at it all tonight, but the entire letter is filled with ways in which we can be an encouragement to one another. Ephesians talks about being filled with the Spirit. There's no better person to be an encouragement to a fellow believer than one who is continually filled with the Spirit. Talks about using our gifts for one another, submitting to one another, for praying for one another. Ephesians talks about the unity within the whole, and the love a husband has for a wife, and the example that Christ is for us. This letter is filled with ways in which we can encourage one another. And so we see that what we believe, you see, doctrine really matters. Because what we believe not only affects us personally, but it affects us corporately. See, if you don't have a grasp on things like we looked at this morning, if we don't fully understand the love of Christ, what God has done for us and the blessings He has bestowed upon us, it won't just affect us. It'll affect those around us. It'll affect those within our homes, those within our church, those within our schools and our communities. Because if we don't have it, we can't properly share it with others. If we're not encouraged by the things of the Lord, the things of God's Word, then we'll never be able to effectively encourage one another. So let us encourage one another today. Let us encourage the brothers and sisters in Christ that are a part of this church and a part of this community. But here's how we do it. It's not about just some self-help. It's not about just, you know, waking up and just, all right, I'm going to just have as much strength as I can have today all on my own. No, here's how we do it. We look to Jesus for everything. That's it. We look to Jesus for everything. We're going to see in these last two verses of this letter that our focus is really directed right back to Christ, which is really what the entire Bible is all about, to His blessings, to all the blessings that come from Him. The main theme of the book of Ephesians is our spiritual blessings in Christ. That's what it's really all about. And it really summarizes all that we have in Christ and how all that we need comes from Christ. What we're going to see in these last two verses, notice it says, peace to the brethren. Peace to the brethren. You can look there in verse 22 and 23, and it talks about peace, which is a peace, not a peace that the world gives, but the peace, true peace, only comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever since the very first sin, there has been war between man and God and between men and women. There's been war. It's been turmoil. Of course, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, because He came to pay the sin that is the cause of all this turmoil. He took away the sin. He makes peace and He makes reconciliation with God possible. We looked at that a little bit more in depth this morning. Christians, we need to be continually reminded that real peace in our hearts and in our life, it only comes from the gospel of peace. In their relationship with God through Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And so Paul is calling on the brethren to have peace. To have peace not only with one another, but to first of all have peace with God. And once we have that peace, once we are in the family of God, in Christ, complete in Him, then we have love with faith. Love with faith. Real love and real faith comes only from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything God does for us is not motivated by guilt. It's not motivated by fear. It's not motivated by some anger. Everything God does for us is motivated by His great love. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 says, but God who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You see, we serve a great God. We serve a God who is full of love, real love. Not love that the world wants to offer, but real love. A God who is rich in mercy, with great love wherewith He has loved us. The love of God is something that we know and we grasp only really by faith. Can we really explain the love of God? Honestly and truly, can we really explain away the love of God? Absolutely not. It goes beyond anything we have ever experienced. But by faith, we can believe it. We can trust and we can live in the freedom that God's love brings. Ephesians 3:17 says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, listen, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, the love of Christ, it's beyond our understanding. So that's why He says, have peace with the brethren and love with faith. It's not just a love. We're only going to love when we can see. Only love what we can understand. No, it's a love with faith. A love that passes all knowledge, all understanding. And so I would ask you this morning, this evening, have you accepted by faith the great love that God has for you? Are you growing in your knowledge of His love? Are you understanding it, perhaps not fully, but are you growing in that knowledge each and every day? God loves you so much that He gave His Son for you, to die for you, to die for me, to die for those all around the world who are lost in their sin today. And he says, grace be with them all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. I love this word, grace. Grace. Grace is this unmerited, undeserved favor. It's this wonderful gift of all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, he says in sincerity. He gives us grace. What does it mean to love the Lord? Well, it means to accept him. To accept him as God. Accept him as Lord, as Savior, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. To believe in who he is. To believe completely on him. To do so sincerely, without corruption, without pure motives, without secret disloyalties. To truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a continuing love. It's a call and a challenge Paul gives us to keep on loving the Lord Jesus Christ. To keep looking to him. To keep following him. To keep growing in our understanding of who he is and what he did. And as we do this, as we grow in his grace, we learn then to live out our new relationship. And we learn to stand for him. We learn to better encourage one another. We learn to be edifying to each other. We learn what real truth is and what real love is and what real encouragement is, what real sacrifice is when we're continually looking to Jesus at real love, at real faith, continually growing in our understanding of him. That will help us. That will enable us then to encourage one another. So again, I ask, are we growing in our love for Jesus? Are we continuing in our love for him? Or have we left our first love? Do we need to maybe remember a point where we've fallen, where we've gone into sin, where we've left, and perhaps maybe you're here tonight, but maybe it's only out of duty, out of ritual, out of habit, there's nothing else better to do tonight. Maybe there's something that needs repentance. Maybe we need to go back to Christ and to look to him, to believe on him, to return to the one that can bring true healing and true peace into our life. As you read the book of Ephesians, we see that we are in a spiritual war. In fact, we can see that just walking out the doors tonight. We can see that by turning on the news tonight. We can turn the radio on and hear of some story. We know that we are at spiritual war. And because of that, we must put on the armor of God each day. Ephesians talks about this armor of God. But maybe like me, if I'm honest, sometimes it's a bit overwhelming to go through this practice of remembering each and every piece of the armor. And okay, what was it that I'm supposed to put on? You put on the armor, you put on the belt of truth, right? Okay, get the belt of truth going. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, what does that exactly mean? The shoes of peace, gospel peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. All of these pieces of armor, spiritually speaking, it's a lot to keep up with sometimes. Maybe you might even think, well, just forget it. Forget all the work that it takes to be a Christian. Forget all the work it takes to be properly prepared for the world. It's just too much to keep up with. It seems too difficult. Maybe you think, well, I never measure up anyway, so let's just throw it all out. May I suggest something a little simpler? And it's simply this. To put on the armor of God is to simply put on Jesus. To put on Jesus. Let me explain what I mean. You see, the belt of truth, well, that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. John 14:6 says this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you want to wear the belt of truth, and I hope you do. Well, we put on Jesus. We look to Jesus for truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Romans 13:14 says this, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." We want to be protected from sin, protected from going astray. We must look no further than to our Lord Jesus Christ. Put Jesus on. That's what he says in Romans. Don't make provision for the flesh. Don't give it space. Don't give it room. Put Jesus on, and there's no room for anything else. We want the peace. Well, he guides our feet in peace. Those gospel shoes of peace. Luke 1:79 says, "To give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." You want to put on those gospel shoes of peace each and every morning? Again, it's found in Jesus. The shield of our faith is none other than the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He's the author. He is the finisher of our faith. We don't have to lug around a big battle shield walking around. We simply lug around Jesus. We put on Jesus. We look to Jesus. That helmet, finally, of salvation. Well, I think you can guess where this is headed. Jesus. He is the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 2:10 says, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." We look to Jesus. He's truth. He is righteousness. He is peace. He is faith. He is the captain of our salvation. And he is the Word made flesh. John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see what Paul is driving at? There's two things tonight. He says, I want you to be encouraged, brethren. And I want you to encourage others. And I'm sending Tychicus so he can encourage you and tell you how I'm doing. But it all points back in the final words once again. It all comes back to Christ. Because it's all wrapped up in him. He is, if I can say it this way, the complete package. He is the one. He is everything that we need. He is more than enough. It's what this book is trying to teach us. Not just the book of Ephesians, but the entire Bible. It's Paul's message to us. It's God's message. It's Mark's message. It's John's message. It's Moses' message. It's God's message. We are rich. We are blessed. We are cared for. We are protected. We are rooted. We have our identity. We are on solid foundation. And all of this is because of and by the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So may I encourage you, stop trying to live a perfect life in our own strength. Stop trying to fight the battle alone. Stop giving in to Satan and defeat, and put on Jesus. Look to him for everything. Go to him every day. Cry out to him even today. Not only for your salvation, but in every part of your life. You see, he's not just a ticket into heaven. He's not just a fire escape from hell. He is our life. And we are in him. And God wants you to speak the gospel message for him. To share his name with this world. So I would ask you tonight in conclusion, will you ask him to empower you and to empower me and to empower others today to boldly open our mouths and to share the gospel with those around us. Maybe ask God tonight, who can I be an encouragement to? Who can I support? Who can I help? Who can I lift up in this body of believers? In this community, who might we could bring, not just to church, but bring to Christ? Just by being an encouragement to them. Will you say to the Lord, help me to be more committed to encouraging others? Will you help me to get my eyes off of myself and more onto others, so that perhaps they might be strong in their faith? That was Paul's desire for the church, so that they would be strengthened, so that they would know how to go forth into battle, so that they could then encourage one another. And lastly, God wants you to know that in Christ, you will find everything that you need. You want peace? We all do. It's found in the Prince of Peace. You want love, real love? Well, it's found in Christ. You want faith? You want grace? You want mercy? Do you want forgiveness? Do you want freedom? The government can't provide it. The schools won't give it. A long-lasting career won't settle it. These things are only found in Christ. It all comes from Him. Would you believe in Him tonight? If you've not done so, I encourage you, call upon the name of the Lord. Trust Him. Put away everything else. Call out to Him. Believe that He is who He says He is. Believe that He is God. Believe that He lived a perfect life and you and I didn't. That He died for our sins. That He was buried and He rose again on the third day. Believe on Him and love Him with all your heart, and ask God to draw you closer to Him each and every day, to seek Him, to love Him, so that we might serve one another, encourage one another, all the while looking to Jesus for everything. I hope it's an encouragement to you tonight. I hope that God's Word will bless you. I hope that we will look to Jesus. I hope that we will be obedient to God's Word and not just hearers only.